Hi guys, if you want to skip a long intro by me talking about myself, just skip to about minute 22, second 30. Okay? Thanks. Oh my goodness, here we are broadcasting live from my closet. Can you hear the coats rustling in excitement? Oh my god, it's Thursday, which means it's almost Friday. Very exciting, very happy about that. Since it's Thursday, the last day I'll be recording for the week, let's chat, me and other person who's listening. It's been a wild week, let me tell you. I had kind of a shitty beginning to my week, because let me tell you, I have a job where I spend half of the time on the road, not like staying in hotels on the road, but like within about 10 counties, I'm on the road every other day doing, I don't know how specific to get, I guess I can say I work in insurance, so like you wreck your car, you wreck your RV, you wreck your boat, you wreck your, you name it, I come out, take photos, and do estimates of the damage. People will call me an adjuster, people will call me an appraiser, people call me that guy that came out and totaled my car, and I'm all of those things, but I spend about half of my time on the road doing that, and then the other half of the time is sitting at my desk writing up all those reports, so like one day in, one day out, right? Okay, so all that said, this month has been kind of slow, right? And so when it's slow, like I call it remotely, which is code for I work for a company based like 2 hours away from me, and they're not going to pay for office space, so I work out of my apartment basically full-time, which sounds great, right? It's not good, because let me tell you, that means no separation of like work and home life. It's always there all the time. But so I do a lot of emailing back and forth, and with one person specifically who's kind of like my point of contact with everything that I do, right? And my problem is that who I work for, I am basically my basis, my area in the state of Kentucky is basically the busiest area of the state. There's no way to get around it. It's the largest city in, well, it's the only, it may be the only metropolitan area, but it's definitely the largest city by far, and then all of the little suburbs around it, right? And it used to be, my god, it used to be all the cities around it plus two counties in Indiana, which touches Louisville, the city I live in. And it was up, I think it was 10 or 12 counties that I covered, all the way to the capital, which is like the third biggest city. So it was a nightmare. It's been cut down recently, but I tend to get frustrated, which is not anyone's fault other than, well, it's kind of not all my fault, because if you give me too much work as my the company I work for, then I guess technically it's your responsibility. But this week I was working, and it was Tuesday, and the one person who I email with back and forth pretty much constantly throughout the day, it's like having a continuous text conversation with this person, and I kept getting all these emails, and it was either useless information, or it was supplemental assignments that I had to follow up on, and you know, everything's got a time crunch, and blah, 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 everyone wants their cars fixed, everyone wants it done now. And I finally, at probably like noon, after getting email after email after email after email after email, at like noon, I kind of lost it. And I didn't like lose it, like I didn't have a screaming, cussing fit at anyone. I just received an email from a company that we don't do much work for, and when we do work for them, it's when we do work for them, they're the worst, if that makes sense. You know, like the one person who in your workplace or whatever that you deal with, and they do the absolute like least to help you, and then when they do ask for help, they ask for the absolute most and then want to complain about how you do your work for them, like that person, but it's a company, right? So this company sends out an email complaining about something that we were doing, and in specific used one of my claims as an example on how terrible it was, blah, blah, blah. Granted, they didn't tell us how terrible it was until a month later, so it wasn't really that bad. And it happens a lot, and not just to me, to other people who do the same job for my company, but it's always kind of annoying because it's like, well, you give me the most work out of all your other employees and you pay me the least because I'm the newest, which literally makes, let me say, this makes no fucking sense. I understand rewarding loyalty, but if I do the most work, you know what I mean? Then maybe I shouldn't be making not even comparable to what some of the other people are making. But whatever, I digress. What am I going to do? Complain? A lot of people my age don't even have jobs with their college degrees, and I've got a degree, and I'm not going to say it's useless, but it's definitely not the most useful, you know? But so I get this email, and I'm so frustrated, and I respond to it because it was forwarded to me by this person that I'm always talking to, and we have a pretty good relationship, you know? She's really nice, and she, you know, tries to do her best to help me out. I try and not fuck up as much as possible so her job's not more difficult, and, you know, we'll email back and forth, and there's ha-has and LOLs and smiley faces, and she'll ask me about my family and this and that, because she knows, you know, she knows some of my family, but I don't really know hers, which is unfortunate, but, so finally I just respond, and when I responded to the email, it was, when I wrote it, it, in my head coming out, it seemed like I was just, you know, talking to her, venting my frustration, but I thought it was clear that I was not venting it at her, but rather venting how much I did not like this company and was hoping she'd understand. Here's the problem. She wasn't in the office. She just came back to a very angry email from me with no other context, not really, maybe not realizing that I had received like 12 useless emails and emails with more work for me that I wasn't expecting to do that day, and then on top of that got this complaint. And she sent back an email, and when I read it the first time, I was a little annoyed because it felt a little, I don't know, it didn't feel condescending, but it kind of felt like I was being scolded, you know, the way that she worded it. And I was just kind of like, oh, But then I sat back with it because, you know, I don't want to be a dick. So I sat back, I reread my email, and I was kind of like, you know what? Just coming in and looking at this would probably, I wouldn't like to come in and look at that either, whether the person's upset with me or upset with the company. I'm just the messenger, you know, and she said that. She said, I'm just the messenger. So I emailed back, and I felt so bad. I said, you know what? I completely understand that you're just the messenger. I'm really sorry. You know, it was never my intention to make you think that that's what I meant. And it really, let me tell you, it has bugged me since Tuesday. I have been, like, really upset about it. Not, like, crying my eyes out upset, but, you know, it just kind of bugs me. Because I don't want this person who, like, is really kind to me, like, in a workplace, you know, in a professional environment, but even outside, you know, asking me how my parents are doing and stuff like that. I don't want them to feel like I was yelling at them and it's not their fault. And, you know, I emailed back and I said, you know what, that's my bad. I thought the tone was clear, but it was not clear. And I can totally see why it looked like I was just being an ass to you for no reason. So I didn't put it like that. I put it more professionally, you know, and I just apologized and said, sorry, you know. But then I sat there and she didn't reply and say, you know, oh, it's fine, whatever. And then I got annoyed by that. And then I had to sit with myself and say, you know what? It's not your right to be upset because you reacted, whether it was because you had 7 cups of coffee or because you were frustrated or fed up or because you're overworked and underpaid. It's not her responsibility to, 1, accept your apology, 2, put any value in your apology, or 3, care why it happened. You know what I mean? She comes in to do her work, and just because you're having an off day sitting in your house doesn't mean she has to take responsibility for that. Anyway, it really bothered me, and we've been emailing back and forth, of course, and it's been a little kind of one-sided. I've calmed down, no LOLs, no ha-has, no smiley faces, just giving her the information she needs. She'll give me the information I need. And then today she emailed me about something, and it was something I had just not really messed up. It was just like a change that she kind of wanted made just to make herself and me make sure that we were both in the clear for sure. And she put an LOL at the end, and you know what? That made me feel much better, because I felt really bad. I felt really bad for most of the week about, you know, there's a plane flying over. Oh, and a helicopter. Okay. I felt really bad about that. And now I feel a little better. She may still be upset with me, and that's okay. That's her right. I completely understand, because it is not her responsibility to take on my frustration or the what I feel is righteous frustration I have with the people I work for having unrealistic expectations and advertisements of their employees. But that's none of her business or my business. That's my employer's businesses. But she put an LOL at the end, and I was really happy about that. You know what I mean? I just was happy that, I don't know. Happy that maybe, hopefully she wasn't as upset, because you can't pressure someone into forgiving you, even if it's something so stupid as like an email with an off tone. You know what I mean? It wasn't like I cussed at her or said something mean. I was just frustrated. Literally, the email was me being frustrated with this company, but she had to face it, not them. And that's not fair to her. And it was nice that she just kind of responded and was a little jovial. You know, I'm gonna try and be even more professional in the future, but it's something you just kind of have to learn, that professional relationships are professional relationships. And if you, even if someone asks you about your family or does this or does that, doesn't mean that they can understand what you're saying through an email, through a text or whatever. Even someone you've known for 10 or 12 years, it's difficult. But that's the exciting emotional thing I did this week. Physically, skipped my workout yesterday, ate a bunch of Taco Bell, you heard that. But what was also exciting was yesterday, as I told you, I spend half my time on the road, half my time in my office. And yesterday was a day where I was on the road and we were really slow. Like, say I have an 8-hour day usually, and I have maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours worth of work to do. And according to my bosses and everyone I talk to, that means you've got 6 hours to just kind of do whatever you want. There are free 6 hours, but I can't do that. And I don't know why, but I just, you know, new things will come in throughout the day that if I don't do them that day, then I just have to do them 2 days from now. And then they've piled up with what's in between. So, what I did yesterday was I did what I had, and then I took a break, and I thought, you know what I want to do? There's a peddler's mall way out, like 30 minutes away from where I'm at, in the same, you know, in the same city, just like on the other side of it. And I've never been there, and I've only ever been to like one peddler's mall, but I love weird antique-y stuff, right? So I drive down to this peddler's mall, and it's in a closed Kmart that they've then converted into a peddler's mall. And maybe it's just because I went to another one later in the day, but maybe it's just me, or maybe it's just the peddler's malls I went to, but I just feel like I'm being watched like the whole time, and that's not something I'm used to. And it kind of makes me appreciate how people who aren't white men feel when they're walking around stores, because that's what I present as, is just a straight up white man. So I can kind of not sympathize, because it doesn't happen in every store, but it was a very odd feeling to kind of feel like people are watching you the entire time. And I get why they're watching and why there's camera signs everywhere, because it's like 50 mini stores. I wouldn't call them stores, but 50 mini little outlets where you can buy weird little things, but no one's manning them. You just kind of bring everything to the front and they hope that you didn't steal, you know? All that being said, this first peddler's mall I went to was actually kind of a success. I found two little brass boxes, And that doesn't sound exciting to you, but I love little boxes. And one had green velvet on the inside, and they're dirty, and I need to polish them up. But they're like, they have little, I think they're called Swedish crosses. They're like crosses, but they're all the legs are the same size. And the box is stamped out with those all over. It's really cool looking. And it's got like a matching little version. And it was like $1 and $2, right? And something else I've wanted for forever is a mid-century modern cigarette table, which is like, if you don't know what it is, other listener, I don't know you, so I don't know if you know what it is, but if you don't, they were these tables that were designed back when smoking was like a cool thing to do indoors before we, you know, learned that you shouldn't smoke a pack a day when you're pregnant. They were just like little tables that had, some had like lighters built into them. Some had just an ashtray. Some had ashtrays that opened up and then the cigarette would fall through and then you'd empty it out. Some had little holders for cigarettes. And I've always wanted one of the mid-century modern kind of black and chrome ones that opens up in the middle because I think they're so cool. I don't really smoke cigarettes anymore. I'm out of college, but you know, I still think they're really fucking cool. And some of them are up, like you go to a vintage store and it's not a name brand, not that I know many name brands from the eras, but they're not really name brand tables and they're hundreds of dollars. Like one I found was really cool. It was like a, you know, it had the door, but one of the little doors that opens up was broken and it was like $85, right? And I was like, fuck no, I'm not doing that. So I'm in this peddler's mall and I find this cigarette table and I'm not an expert. Please don't think I'm an expert. I'm just gay. But I think this one was more maybe from when they were kind of going out of style. It was obviously kind of a cheaper model. It didn't have like a built-in ashtray or lighter or anything. It was just kind of the tray on a stick with a base, right? Kind of just like a weird little side table, but a dish. But the problem was the base was cool. It was just solid, smooth. It was brass. All of it was kind of brass and cheap metals, which I didn't really mind. And the bottom was really simple. And the tray had like lines indented going around it, but it wasn't particularly busy. The problem was kind of the I don't know what it's called, the stick part of the stand, the part that comes up and holds the tray up, was like, it looked like a Dorian, like Ionic Corinthian column, and that it had the traditional kind of flared column with indentations going up, and then it had like a embellishment at the top underneath the tray. And what I wanted to do was bring it home, get my sander out, sand it down, and then spray paint. I was thinking paint the whole thing chrome. And I've had trouble with chrome paints in the past in that they tend to separate and kind of not look fantastic on metal, especially on brass, even when it's been sanded down and treated. And this one, I brought it home. I kind of sat with it for a day, kind of thinking, what am I going to do? And instead of doing it all chrome, which I thought was just asking for it to be bad, I thought, okay, if I want mid-century modern, I'll give it that feeling by doing chrome and just a gloss black, like enamel paint, sort of what you would use to paint like a fridge or something. They make like a spray paint for fridges. It's really hard and it hardens in like 15 minutes. It's pretty durable. So I got this thing out and I started looking at it and it's rusty as shit. I might have tetanus, who knows? But I'm unscrewing, kind of just toying with it, and I pull the base off and then I'm looking at it and I'm realizing that the column, what you would call it, that comes up out of the base that holds the tray is just like a rod that's got this outer shell that's this column detailing and this top embellishment garnish type thing, and it just slides off. And then what I'm kind of left here with is this base, which looks like an upside down very shallow bowl with no outer or inner rim, just a flat bowl. You can picture it. It's very simple, the design of it. And now I've got just this very skinny little stick of a column, of a pole. And then the tray, which the tray doesn't really come apart. And if I could get it apart to something simpler, that would be ideal. But what are you going to do? And this has already been 20 minutes, so I guess you're in for the long haul. I'll at the end I'll tell you what timestamp to jump to if you just want to get to the chapter. But so I pull it apart and then I start painting it, and I sand down the bottom, I prime it, I let the primer dry, and then I do the base. And I've learned from my mistakes, when you're doing a metallic finish or like a chrome finish, you have got to do several light coats. Do not let it run, do not let it bubble, do not let it get gloopy, because then your finish is ruined and you have to start all over again. So I do the first coat and I am like running low on my paint, but I have a full another can of the exact same finish. I just wanted to use up the first one. And then I do the black as the handle accent, and I'm gonna do the handle black and the little post, the little pole black. So I do the pole, I do the handle, and then I go to tape off the handle, and a bunch of the enamel, I guess, wasn't completely dry or whatever. It's the middle of winter, so I can't really expect it to dry the way it's supposed to. So I have to repaint it. Well, I repaint that, the post is fine, but the base, after I did the first coat of metallic, it was looking pretty good. And I go out to do the second coat, which I'm thinking is probably going to be the final coat, and my can is out. So I go get my other can of the same finish, and I pop the top off and immediately snap the nozzle. Nothing I can do. There is a full can of paint. I just have to throw it away. There's no way, unless I want to like dismember a WD-40 can and try and shove the nozzle in, there's nothing I can do. So, because I also wanted to do the ashtray part a chrome and then just have the handle be black, I just did the whole tray black, and it looks pretty good. I might go get another can of spray paint and do the tray the silver that I want, just to kind of feel better about it. But it looks a lot better than that, like, I'm assuming it was like a 70s cigarette table when they were kind of going out of fashion and being mass marketed and they were pretty cheap. I think it looks pretty damn good. So that was the other exciting thing that I did today in between the assignments I was already doing for work, because I have to take breaks, otherwise my brain doesn't work. And that's what you missed on Glee. You know, that's what was happening in my life. But I guess we will get to... I guess we'll get to the story. I believe this next chapter is No More Sex. Love that for me. There might not be any more sex. I'm hoping there's not, but I'm sure 16-year-old me wanted there to be more. So we'll get to that. And I want to thank you for listening, and other than that, we will get to it right now. So, thanks. Chapter 29, Breakfast. The next morning, Travis wakes up before Billy and slips from the bed, walking stealthily into the kitchen. As he begins to cook, the smell of food wakes Billy, who comes wandering from the bedroom, scratching his head and rubbing his eyes. Travis laughs and sets a plate down on the counter next to him, piled high with eggs and bacon. Billy growls hungrily and searches for forks, attacking his food when he finds one. Travis only smiles and watches him. After a moment, Billy looks up and Travis swallows quickly. "What?" Billy asks. "You're just kind of cute is all," Travis says with a smirk. Billy blushes and scarfs down the rest of his food. Then when he's done rinsing his dishes, Travis comes up behind him, slipping an arm under Billy's. The contact tickles and Billy shifts a bit, leading Travis to hold him tighter. "How do you do it?" Travis asks. "Do what?" Billy says. "I don't know how to explain it, but you fit into my life so perfectly. You fill up this space that I didn't really even think existed." "How?" Travis is almost whispering now, a confession only for Billy to hear. "I don't know, but, you know, you kind of fit perfectly into my life too," Billy says, with his head tilted back to Travis. "I'm glad. Can I tell you something else?" Travis asks. "Of course," Billy says. "I think I fell for you the first day I had you. When you were upset that you couldn't even get up off the bed, I remember helping you to the table and catching myself thinking, I like this. I could do this forever. It was like I didn't even stand a chance against you. I didn't even stand a chance against you, and I didn't even have to try. I was yours the moment I met you." Travis finishes his statement with a happy sigh, and Billy smiles gently at the giant man's head, tilted until their foreheads are meeting. "Can I tell you something?" Billy asks as a response. "Anything." "It took me a long time to admit what I was feeling for you. The moment I saw the pain in your eyes, I knew I had No, I didn't have to. I wanted to be there for you, but I was so scared to show that I was falling for you. Do you remember when you pulled me out from under the bed? Billy asks, shivering at the memory. Yeah, I was scared shitless. Of course I remember, Travis says. Well, when you held me, I knew I wasn't just attached to you because you saved me or because I couldn't move. When you hugged me, I kind of hoped you weren't gonna let go. Like, ever, Billy says. There in the kitchen, they stand stock still and completely enveloped in each other until Travis's stomach rumbles ferociously and Billy smiles. You need to eat, and I need to get ready for work, Billy says. Travis nods and they break apart, each going about their own tasks. Billy showers quickly and dresses, pulling on his shoes and stepping out into the kitchen. Travis catcalls as he walks past the breakfast bar. Billy laughs and does a turnabout, stepping into Travis and standing on his toes to kiss him. You know, we never really talked about this, but have you ever. I. Do you know what I mean? Have you ever. With a. You know. Billy's gesturing with his hands. You know, been with another man? He asks as he pulls back. What? No? Travis says confusedly. Well, I don't. There's no problem. I just was kind of curious that maybe I. Well, I'm just confused, Billy says. Travis laughs. How the fuck do you think I feel? He says. And that's all they needed to say about it. Time for work. I'll be home tonight to cook dinner, so bring your appetite and maybe an explanation, Billy says. Okay, I'll try, Travis says with a suggestive grin, and Billy can't help but laugh as he steps out the door. Can you believe you sat around listening to me talk for 22 minutes about a cigarette table and my feelings for 5 minutes of content? Maybe I don't know. Maybe I need longer chapters. Who knows? I can tell you for a fact that the next time I do this, and I'm sure there's going to be a next time because I haven't gotten my money's worth out of this microphone, the chapters will definitely be longer, and I won't just cut them off at what I think they should be. I'll cut them off when I've got a good 15 to 20 minutes of audio for each one, because this is kind of a waste of your time to listen to me talk, unless you just enjoy it, in which case I ask, are you a glutton for punishment? Are you lonely? I can't really help with that, but if you are, I'm also kind of lonely, so don't feel too bad. Don't worry, because I've got a podcast that I can literally broadcast to like everybody in the world, and I've got one listener. So, whoever you are out there, thank you for listening. And anyone else who was listening and isn't listening anymore, go fuck yourself. Bye.